That was pretty good. He didn't even have to look at his notes. He almost read that word for word, just like I planned it. Now, I tell you, I sure don't think that I'm worthy to do anything. I'm just thankful that the Lord has allowed me to be a part in anything He's allowed me to do. I can just tell you that. And I was going to say that. Seriously, that the staff has, we have really come together, and I'm telling you, to God be the glory. Things have just really went really well, and we're thankful for that. And we're doing everything we can to try to take any pressure whatsoever. We don't even want there to be a ripple that would cause the pastor any kind of stress or anything along that line. So you help us pray about that. And we'll just keep on going like we're doing. All right, turn with me in your Bibles tonight to Colossians chapter 4. If you need a handout, if you'll hold your hand up. Did anybody need one? I think everybody may have got one, I hope, because the ushers are not. Okay, good. Good deal. Ushers, don't even think about that. Colossians chapter number 4. And as we think about the 40 days of prayer is starting for tonight. And so I hope that you will go out. I hope you've already done that. But if not, I hope that you will go out and you will pick a day there. And by the way, if you pick a day, doesn't mean that that's the only day you can pray. You can pray, and we hope that you are praying. But especially on that day, we want you to pray, throughout the day as much as you can, as the Lord would bring it to your mind, as you are able. Maybe you have been able to, or you would be able to set aside some time, maybe a block of time, like 30 minutes to an hour, or even longer than that, whatever the Lord would lay upon your heart to do. But a good way to pray, especially for something like that, is, you know, to start out at, in your morning, start out praying. And then as the day goes along, as the Lord would bring that to your mind, just continuously pray about that. My, you can pray about it as you're going down the road, as you're working, or whatever you're doing, and just keep that on your mind. And that's what we're asking people to do. Just remember that, have it on your heart, have it on your mind, and then you pray about it as the day goes on through that. And so some people have asked, are we supposed to come up here, or what all are we supposed to do with that? But that is, it's an individual thing. It's really for you personally, however you want to do it. If you wanted to come up here, you're more than welcome. By the way, that's true for any time. Anytime you feel like there's a burden on your heart, or you just want to get alone and get away to pray to the Lord, you can always come to church. You can always come to this altar and pray anytime. I mean, anytime we're here, we'd be glad for you to do that. But this is for you individually, however you would feel and however the Lord would lead you to pray for this big day that we're having. And by the way, typically, that is exactly what we would normally have that. That's exactly what we would do, is pray in 40 days for this big day. All right? What's the first slide up our brother? But we want to emphasize prayer, and we're making it a priority. That's one reason why we're saying, and we've called this 40 days of prayer, because we really want to emphasize it. And by the way, it ought to be just for this time right here, but especially this time right here, we just want to make it a priority in our life to pray and to remember to pray. All right, and then what are we going to pray for? Well, we want to pray for God's glory, and I'm going to give you some things here. As we go through here, we want to pray for God's glory. And we want God to be glorified. We want God to be honored here in everything. I mean, everything that we do. I mean, there ought to be a thing here that happens that we don't try to bring glory to God because of it. All right? We want to pray for pastor's healing and strength. And that ought to be something that we're just continuously praying about. And we're asking God to heal him. We're asking God to give him his strength back. And right now, you know, really if you could categorize or say that what's his greatest need right now, it would be for his strength to increase. And, you know, he's just really weak, and he's not able to do a lot, and he gets tired easily and that kind of thing. And so he needs his strength back, all right? And then we want to pray for God's protection for our church. for the ministries here and the people here. And, you know, we've said this, and we're going to continue to say it. You know, as long as the pastor's out, the shepherd's away, well, there's always a danger there. And so we'd ask, and normally this is not part of the 40 days of prayer, but while we're having this time, why not? Let's just make the most of it, and let's pray, because really, I tell you, we have really seen this church come together in praying and being in unity and being in one accord about this thing. And it seems like God is just doing a great thing here. And we're encouraged about that, and we're thankful for that. And, you know, there's a good crowd of folks here. The spirit is good. I'll tell you, the singing has just been phenomenal tonight. I don't know about you, but I have been blessed because of the singing. And, boy, these young people, what a blessing that was to see these young people. And, man, if that ain't, I didn't see one of you stand up and shout or anything. But if there ever was a time to, I mean, when you see this many young people, you know, that range of young, you know, their ages and stuff, standing up, singing, unashamed, wanting to glorify God, wanting to praise the Lord. I tell you, that's exciting. It sure is. And so we want to continue. We just ask God to bless this church. Ask God to bless the ministries of this church. And then, of course, the people. And we've had more than our share of sicknesses and different things that's happened and going on in this church. And we want God's protection here. All right? And then, of course, really the main reason that we're praying for this 40 days of prayer is for homecoming. We want to have a good attendance that day. You know, and I know sometimes we think, and sometimes even we say the same thing, man, we want to have a good attendance. And, you know, it's nice to be able to say, hey, we had 1,000 people on the church property. Boy, that's exciting. That's great. That's great to be able to say, right? Well, I don't think one of you would get up and be excited. Man, we had 30 on homecoming day. Had 30. We wouldn't get excited about that, would we? But now, if we had 1,000, then we'd probably get excited. And so we want to have a good attendance. It's not necessarily so we can brag about the numbers and things like that. But the more people you have, what happens? The more people you have, the greater potential for God to do something. I mean, there's so many things, good things that could happen. People getting saved. And people, you know, without a church home, or people are just visiting, looking for a church. Man, they come and they see what's going on here. They like it. They come and join with us. And, you know, God grows the church. And that's an exciting thing. And I hope that you're praying about that. I hope you're inviting people. I hope you're working toward that. And by the way, if you don't invite somebody, they probably are not going to come. They're probably not going to read your mind. They're probably not going to come up to you and say, please, would you let me be your friend? Would you let me be your guest on homecoming so I can come to Calvary Baptist Church? They're probably not going to do that. But now, if you went to them and said, hey, would you come? Would you be my friend? Would you come be my guest that day? We're having a big service. Man, we're going to have a big tent up out here. We're going to have a meal afterwards. Would you come? Would you be my friend? Would you come with me? You know what? They may come with you. And if they come, there's a great potential that they could be saved that day. And God could do something in their life. And so that's what we're praying about. And we want God just to do something supernatural that day. God to do something great that day. And I'm looking forward to that. And of course, anytime the Word of God's open, I mean, we never know what God's going to do. Anytime the Word of God's open, there's potential of all kinds of things God could do and would do and can do, and so we're praying about that. And let's, by the way, we want to pray about it. And I don't mean we just, you know, as you're saying your blessing, that's a good time to say it, but I mean we want to spend some time and pray about this. And we want to be serious about it. We want to pray, and we want to get God to do something here in our midst. By the way, God wants to do something. He just needs His people, us, to be right with Him and to be on the same page with Him and be willing to cooperate with Him and make ourselves available for Him to use us, that He could do something through us. And that's what we're looking at here. So let's talk about prayer tonight. Let's think about prayer. Let's concentrate tonight on prayer if we could. And first of all, I want you to see here. Give me that next slide, brother. Prayer and worship are perhaps the highest use of the gift of speech. Paul was not ashamed to ask his friends to pray for him. He needed prayer. Paul was an apostle. He was a great man, and God used him in a great way. But you know what? Almost every time you hear or you read something after the apostle Paul, Paul is always asking people, please pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. And you know what? When we think about our church, there ought to be somebody that we're always praying for. I'm going to tell you, Pastor, we ought to always pray for him. And if there's ever been a time that has been reinforced in my life to think about, hey, one day the pastor's doing great, and the next day he's in the hospital. Do you know what? That same thing could be true for all of us. But I'm going to tell you what, especially for the pastor, that just ought to encourage us and remind us, hey, we need to pray for our pastor every single day. I mean, we're to lift him up in prayer, and we ought to be praying for him, and we ought to ask God to just do something great through his life. And I not only him, but the staff and right on down the line there. But we need to be praying. We need to be praying for one another. Pray for our pastor especially. Number one, I want you to see here, prayer must be faithful, first of all. We didn't ever read our text, did we? Let's go back. Let's start in Colossians chapter 4, I'm sorry. And let's read our text here. Verse number 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And so the Apostle Paul here is saying here that we want to continue in prayer. And he, by the way, this is a theme. This is a theme really throughout the Bible, that we're to continue and be. He's talking about being faithful. Being faithful in our prayers. Prayer must be faithful. Continuing in prayer. Keep with it. Keep doing it. Keep on praying. And we're going to look at some passages here a little bit later on, how the Bible encourages us, the Lord encourages us, just to keep on praying. Just because we pray for it one time and we don't get an answer, we shouldn't give up on it. We should keep on praying and keep on praying. God wants us to pray. He talks about here, in your notes there, be steadfast in your prayer life. Be devoted. Don't quit. You know, there's one thing that my dad has overemphasized, I mean over and over and over emphasized, that how important it is to pray. And by the way, I've thought about this. I remember Preacher Baker talking about this, and I remember I've thought about several other folks that have talked about this. When John Vernon passes off the scene, and we hope he don't. We hope he stays on, and the Lord just keeps him here. We're praying for that. But sooner or later, eventually, we're all passing off the scene. But when John Vernon passes off the scene, who's going to step up to take his place? He's been a man of prayer for as long as I can remember. I remember even at the old truck stop building, him talking about some of the men getting together and praying on Saturday night. Used to pray on Saturday nights, and he's done that for as long as I can remember. I remember after I got saved at the old building over there, we would get together on Saturday nights. We'd pray. Sometimes they'd be one or two men, three or four men. Sometimes they'd be 10 or 12. Sometimes they'd be 15 or 20 men. And we'd pray, and we'd fold the bulletins. Did y'all know that the men at the old church, the men were the ones that folded the bulletins? They didn't have all this other stuff. They would print them off. We'd get together. We'd fold those bulletins, and then we'd have time of prayer. Nothing? All right, but anyway, we did that. I mean, you could have clapped or done something. Thank you. But we folded the bulletins. But more important than all that, we prayed. We prayed. And I mean, we'd get on our knees, and we had a list of names we'd call out, and there were people that their wives were coming without husbands, and the husbands were home, and they were lost, and we prayed for them. There were times that we would get the van, we'd load up the van, and we'd ride around neighborhoods and stuff, and we would pray for neighborhoods. Right? I mean, listen, Calvary Baptist Church, there's always been a group of people here that have prayed. Always been that way. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't believe that we would be anywhere where we are right now had it not been for people that have faithfully prayed over the years. By the way, we don't always see the results of it. We don't always even know what's going on. But I tell you what, God wants us to pray. And God wants us to pray. He wants us to be faithful at it. And just keep on at it. Now, hold your place there if you want to. But we're going to look at several verses of Scripture tonight. So turn back to, if you would, to Acts chapter number 1 real quick. And just as soon as I get there, I'm going to read it. But if you're not able to follow along with us, just write it down in your notes there. And we'll read it to you. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 14. Now this is very important that we see this. Acts chapter 1, verse 14 says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." But the first part of that, and that's the emphasis here, they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. All right? And so here's the early church. They're just getting off the ground. They're just getting started here. And I'm going to tell you what, there was a spirit of prayer in that early church. Not only a spirit of prayer, but there was a spirit of unity. Now, I'm going to tell you what, there is nothing more disruptive to prayer than disunity. Disunity. If you've got this person over here, they're mad at this person over here, and they sit over here, and they sit over here, and they're not going to cross paths anywhere in between there. And they make sure of that. I'm just going to tell you what, you're going to have some problems there. And it's going to cause disunity in the church. Now, folks, it oughtn't to be that way. And we're going to show you something here just a little bit later on. But can I tell you that you are to be able to go to anybody in this church at any time and stick out your hand and say, "Brother, I love you. Brother, I appreciate you. Brother, I pray for you. God bless you. I'm glad you're here with me in church." Y'all with me? Y'all agree with that? Well, let me ask you, and don't answer out loud on this, but is that true? Is it true in your life? If it's not, well, folks, listen, we can't have that. We don't need that. You gotta have unity. You gotta be in one accord with one another. And by the way, there oughtn't to be anything on the face of this earth that we can't forgive somebody for. I mean, really, there oughtn't to be anything that we can't forgive one another for. And by the way, and like I said, we're going to see it in a minute, where God tells us we're to forgive, just like we've been forgiven, right? And so if you want to be stingy with your forgiveness, guess what? I think God's saying, I'm going to be a little bit stingy with my forgiveness. And I tell you what, I don't want God to be stingy with his forgiveness. I want God to liberally forgive me for every sin. And every time I come to him, I'm counting on that from the Lord. Look over in chapter 2, verse number 46. Here's what he says again. "They continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat bread with gladness and singleness of heart." And here again, the emphasis is on that they were in one accord, and they were in unity and harmony with one another. And I tell you what, that's a great and needful, necessary thing. You have to be in one accord. Now, if we were to be honest, and we should be honest, we probably would have to admit, we pray only occasionally. I mean, really pray. Now, I don't mean saying the blessing. I don't mean just, somebody calls on us to pray and that kind of thing. But I mean really praying. I'm talking about praying. Pulling your prayer list out, getting on your knees, or, getting in your quiet place, getting alone with God, getting away from everybody, and really spending some time in prayer. Most of the time, if we were just honest, we'd have to say, I only do that occasionally. I only do it occasionally. And that oughtn't to be that way. It ought to be a time. I forget, we've talked about it so much here recently, but there ought to be a time, there ought to be a place that we get together with God. There ought to have a meeting. Set your watch. Get your smartphone out. Set an appointment. This is the time. I'm going to meet with God. We've been encouraging you, and we've been sending out text messages about praying for pastor. 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock at night. And I hope that you've been doing that. Hope you remember that. And we're talking about, being serious about it, praying about it. But can I tell you, more important than all that, really, altogether, is your personal time with the Lord. Well, your personal time, my personal time with the Lord. And I'm telling you, can I tell you this, on the second thing there, too many of us pray only when there's a crisis. Now, and don't say nothing, or don't raise your hand or nothing like that, but how many of us would admit to ourselves that since pastor has gotten sick, that we've been more fervent in our praying? And I'd have to hold up both hands. I'm telling you, I've prayed more in these past few weeks than I've prayed in a long time. I sure have. I'd be first to admit that. It's been a serious time. It's been a challenging time. Can I tell you that in the same vein, it's been a great time and a glorious time. There's been some times that I've been alone with God, and I tell you, I've just had myself a good time. Been praying with God, getting along with God, talking with God. I was praying the other day, and I can't remember when it was, but I went in there, and I don't know what was going on, but you know, something's always going on. You know, got Vince and Tom and all this, you know, there's always conflict and mess going on, but you know, the way y'all see the marks on my shoulders carrying these guys. But can I tell you that it was just something going on? I don't remember what it was, but I tell you, I just, you know, feeling a little bit, just a little bit down, you know. And I went in there, and I don't know why, but the words to "How Great Thou Art" came to my mind. And there I was, all by myself, me and God, and I was singing a song, "How Great Thou Art." And I tell you, I had myself a good time. I had a good time. And I think he enjoyed me singing to him. I really do. But can I tell you that we oughtn't to just pray occasionally. And we oughtn't to just pray when there's a crisis. Now, by the way, if there's a crisis, yeah, we better be praying. Nothing wrong with that. And that's what we should do. But what I'm saying is we shouldn't just pray at a crisis time. Now, hold your place there. Go back to the book of Luke. I want you to see something here. Brother Joel Bixler came, and he's pastoring now where Pastor Broyhill used to pastor up in Lenore. And he's just doing a great work up there and a great great job. And he came down, and he preached our college chapel for us. And, man, he started talking about this right here, and I thought, boy, this is not good, because he's getting ready. He's walking all over my message, all over my sermon here. So, and if y'all were there, this is just, you know, I didn't steal a lot from him, but I did steal some from him, okay? Chapter 11 in Luke, and we're familiar with this, and so we're not going to go through and read all of it, but I do want to hit some highlights here. In chapter 11, verse number 1, he says there, and I've got it highlighted in my Bible, he says, as they were coming, and they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's praying. After he was through, after he'd stopped praying, they looked at him and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." And can I just stop right here for a minute and say, Lord, folks, this ought to be our prayer right here. Lord, teach us to pray. I've got a book, and Andrew Murray, and the title of it, "With Christ in the School of Prayer." It's a great book. It's a great book. Everybody ought to have it. Everybody ought to read that. In Christ with the school, In Christ with the School of Prayer. That's not right. Huh? In the School of Prayer. Okay, yeah. With Christ in the School of Prayer. There. So, but the idea here is just like going to college. It's like going to school. And you're sitting there with your books are open, of course, your Bible, and you got your pen and paper there. And the Lord is going to get up in front of you, and he's going to teach you. He's going to lecture you on the subject of prayer. Well, wouldn't that be good? Amen. And that'd be a good class. I'd sign up for that class. I'd like to be there in it. But what they were saying was, Lord, we've seen how you've prayed. We've seen how you have talked to the Father. We've seen you. And you know what? We want that same thing. That's what they're saying. We've seen what you've done. We want that. We want to be a part of that. We want to know how, when you pray, we want to know how you do that. And so they're asking him, Lord, teach us to pray here. And then he goes on, and we call this the Lord's Prayer, and we know that it's not. It's a model for us to pray. And it talks about our Father here. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As it is in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so, as you look at that, there's some key things there that the Lord says when you pray, this is how you pray. First of all, he talks about our Father, and there's a relationship there. Our Father. We're to pray to our Father which art in heaven. Now listen, if he's not your Father, you can't pray to him. He's not there for you. But now, wait a minute. If you said, Lord, save me, that's a different kind of prayer. He'll hear that prayer. He'll answer that prayer. But as Christians, we go to him as Father. He's our Father. We go to him just like we would our earthly father. If we needed something, we'd go to him. Right? And so he is our Heavenly Father. We're to go to him in prayer. It's a relationship there. It's a relationship. All right? And then he says we're to pray for daily physical needs. And by the way, nothing wrong with that. We should do that. He also says that we're to pray for forgiveness. We're to pray for God, forgive me of my sins. And by the way, if that's not a regular part of your prayer, then you're probably not praying right. It may not be the first thing, but it ought to be one of the top list of things when you go to the Lord. Lord, forgive me of my sin. And I'm telling you what, we just cannot pray effectively, expect God to hear us if we don't have a clean heart with Him. Folks, we've got to have a clean heart. We've got to be right with God, right with Him. I mean, listen, we ought to be able to, as the Bible says, as the song sings, sometimes we sing a song, lifting up holy hands to the Lord. Our hands are clean. Why? Because we're clean with God, clean with Him. Boy, I tell you, there's nothing, let me just tell you, there's nothing like being clean. There's nothing like being clean. We ought to be clean. But not only that, not only should we forgive, ask God to forgive us of our sins, then we're to forgive others. And he says, just in the same way, Matthew says it a little bit different, as we forgive our debtors, as we forgive them. In other words, in the same frame or in the same way that we forgive, then we're going to get forgiveness for us. And folks, I'm telling you what, I believe there's a lot of truth to that. Do you remember the man that went to the two men went to the temple? One man was a publican. He knew he was a sinner. He knew he had all kinds of problems. He knew that he wasn't nothing special. And he goes there and he brings he can't even lift his head up. He beats on his chest and say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And you know, the other one came and God didn't want to hear his prayer because he came in pride and he came in arrogance. And then there's another parable in there that talks about a phrase that goes, if you have aught against your brother, if you got aught against your brother, you brought a gift to the church, you brought an offering to lay it on the altar, and you've got aught against your brother, what does it say to do? Somebody tell me. What does it say to do? They put the gift. It's no need to pray. No, it's not worship time for you. Put the gift down. Leave it there. Go get right with your brother. Go get right with him. Go get things right with your brother. And then when you get all that done, then you can come. Now it's gift time. Now it's worship time. Now it's prayer time. And folks, listen, I'm telling you, it's all through the Bible like that. We can play and we can pretend. We can put on a suit and tie and we can, you know, do. I mean, we can look good on the outside. The best we can. But can I tell you, folks, listen, God looks on the inside. God knows the inside. God knows the inside. And you're just playing games. We're just playing games if we come and we're praying and we're coming to church and we've got all to get somebody else. We're just playing games. And you just might as well go and lay it down and go get it right. Listen, can I tell you, And I'm not bragging. Don't think for a minute I'm trying to brag on myself in any way, shape, or form. But I can't tell you how many times that I've had to go to somebody and say, "Brother, I have wronged you. I've wronged you. I've done something to get, and I'm sorry. Would you forgive me?" I've had to do that. I've had to do that several times. And I'm telling you, folks, it's just a part of life. It's part of life. You can go and with the best intentions you have and try to, you know, do right all the time, but you're going to mess up. I mess up. You're going to mess up. And it's all right Because you can go to that person and make things right. And if they're right, they'll get right with you. But by the way, there's no guarantee that they're going to accept that. And that's not your part. Your part is putting effort for it and going and getting things right. Once you've done what you can, then you're right. You're right with God. And that's the way it ought to be. All right? And so we have to remember that. And he asked us, he's talking about forgiveness and forgiving others. Then he talks about protection and guidance. And can I tell you, folks, if there's ever been a time that this church, we as individuals need protection, it's now. And God, and I'm not going to, you know, we're keep mentioning that because it's true. But folks, we need to ask God to protect us. We need to ask God to help us and keep us safe and keep us from the evil one. That's the idea that he's talking about here. He's to pray to protect us from the evil one. But if we went on down through here, he gives us two more parables here. And the first one is a parable of a friend that comes at midnight. Somebody comes to his house. They're passing through for whatever reason. They come to his house, and he's a friend. Here's my friend. He comes to my house, and he's knocking on my door. Well, the man's in the bed. He's got his children in the bed. Most of the time, you know, they sleep in one room, and a lot of times even slept, you know, just laid out one beside each other like that. And he's coming. He's knocking on the door. He says, "Friend, hey, somebody just passing through. They need something to eat. Have you got something to eat? Can you give me something to eat?" And the guy says, "Listen, I'm already in the bed. Leave me alone. Leave me alone." You know, when he was preaching, that was Brother Bixler was talking about this. You know, when the first person came to my mind, Mike Pinson. You know, Mike Pinson is kind of like this guy right here. You know, things are going on good and smooth, and all of a sudden, there comes Mike Pinson. He's knocking on the door. "Mike, no, I don't have nothing. Get away. Go somewhere else. Call me tomorrow. Leave me alone." But you know, Mike, he's not going to do that. He's going to keep on knocking. He's going to keep on knocking. He's going to worry you to death. And the Bible uses this word, importunity. And just, what does he mean? Just keeps on. He's going to keep on, and you know he's going to keep on until you bring something to the door. And so finally, you get up and you open the door. Well, you know what he's saying here. This is the Lord. He's given this illustration here. He's given this picture so they could see that. Here's a man. They're friends. Here's a friend. But, you know, he's tired. He's grumpy. He's asleep. He don't want to wake the children up and all that. And he really doesn't want to give you anything. Now, he's not saying that's what the Lord's like. He's saying the Lord's just the opposite of that. That's not how the Lord is. The Lord is wanting us to come to him. The Lord wants to hear our prayers. He wants to answer our prayers. He's not going to be like this guy right here. And then he goes on down and he says, "Well, what about this father right here?" And this father comes and his son comes to him and said, "Dad, I'm hungry. Can you give me something to eat?" And he said, "I'll go out there and get one of them rocks and chew on that rock a while and see what that'll do for you." What about some of that fish and stuff? Go out there and get a snake and play with that. See if that'll help you. You know, and he's saying that's not the way God is. God, if this earthly father, who is just, he's a sinner at best, and he may be a good man, but you know what? He's not going to do that to his own children. If he's got something to eat, he's going to give them something to eat. And he says, "Listen, your father's not like that. Your heavenly father's not like that." Listen, God wants to hear. He wants to answer our prayer. God wants us to come to him. God wants to bless us and give us. By the way, he wants to give us things. He wants to meet our needs. And we're to go to him. And the idea here is we're to come to him and keep on doing that. Be faithful to do that. Let me give you these next things real quick. Prayer must be watchful. We must be awake and alert. Watch and pray. You know, there's several places in the Bible where he talks about we're to watch and pray. Nehemiah, when they were building the wall, they said, "Listen, you're to watch and you're to pray. Be watchful here. Be watchful." All right? And he says, and it has the idea here, not only are you working, in Nehemiah's case, not only do you work, but while you're working, you're praying. You've got an eye on what you're doing, but you've got an eye on the enemy too. Be watchful and pray. And by the way, that's what God wants us to do. Be watchful. Be watchful. Always be alert for the enemy. Be watching that the enemy don't come in and he's able to get a foothold here. But another place, over in Mark chapter 13, he's talking about be watching and praying about the Lord's return. We're to be watching for the Lord to come back. You know, the Lord could come back any day. This would be a good day for him to come back, wouldn't it? Boy, it'd solve a lot of problems if he'd just come on back. But he says you're to watch and pray. Listen, look for the Lord to come back. But while you're looking for the Lord to come back, don't stop and just sit there and just keep looking. He says, no, you watch and pray. Watch and pray. You keep on working. You keep on doing. And you keep on praying as if the Lord may not come back, but you're expecting him to come back at any second. And then he talks about over in Mark chapter 14, verse number 38, he's talking to Peter here, and he says, watch and pray, Peter, that you enter not into temptation. Peter, watch and pray, because the devil wants to sift you as wheat. He's wanting to get a foothold in your life. He's wanting to get an advantage in your life. Watch and pray, so he's not able to do that. All right? And so we're to be watchful in our prayers. Number three, our prayers must be thankful. Thanksgiving is an important ingredient in successful praying. Remember, Paul was a prisoner when he wrote this. Hey, listen, he says we're to give thanks to God. Back over in Colossians, he says continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. We're to be thankful. Sincere gratitude to God is one of the best ways to put fervor into our praying. Be thankful for what you've got. Be thankful for what God has blessed you with. Be thankful for what God's going to do in your life. Be thankful for that. And I tell you, that's a great element and ingredient in prayer. Prayer must be purposeful. Too often our prayers are vague and general. Sometimes lack of faith will cause us to pray generally. In other words, you've heard people pray. By the way, I've prayed this. Lord, save the world. Save everybody in the world. Save all the sinners. Oliver Green usually closes his messages on the radio. Even though he's been dead for years, he gives the same, almost the same ending to his prayers as he's praying to end the show there. Lord, save that sinner closest to hell. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? It would have been better. And I know what he's doing. He's talking about, I'm on the radio, and you know, I don't know who's out here and who's listening, that kind of thing. And he's wanting that sinner that's closest, the one that's, you know, could be the very next one to die and go to hell. He's saying, Lord, please save that person. But you know, I think God wants us to be specific in our prayer. Pray for this name. Here's a name. Here's somebody I know of. It's lost. And I'm praying that they get saved. That's what God wants us to do. Be specific in our prayers. By the way, missionaries come through all the time. Missionaries have needs. Missionaries have all kinds of things going on in their life. And we should pray specifically. If we read their prayer letters and we keep up with them, we'll know what's going on in their life. And we can pray that God would bless them in you know, specific ways. The purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. And that's part of the Lord's Prayer. We just read it. And you know, folks, can I tell you, God wants his will done here on this earth. He's not, and by the way, and I say this, and you understand what I'm saying, God's not concerned about our will on this earth.
That's right.
It's his will. That's what's important. And you say, well, I want to do this and all these things. We have all these ideas, and that's fine. But can I tell you, God's will is what's important. We're to pray for God's will in our life. God to give direction. God, I want to do what you want me to do. It's almost like when you get up in the morning, it's just like you're just a private. You're just a servant. You're just a slave. And you go to the master and say, Master, what is it you want me to do today? You know, and that's a good way to go to prayer in the mornings. God, I'm here. I'm reporting for duty. What do you got for me today? What do you want me to do today? Lord, where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to see? Lord, what do you want me to do? Guess what? I believe God would probably tell you something. Have that attitude. Have that thought in your mind. Lord, I'm here reporting for duty. Just tell me what you want done today. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's laying hold of his willingness. And I tell you, folks, there's so much. There's just so much to prayer. I hope that you will go out when you leave. Go out and look at that table there. Go by and pick out a date and sign up for the 40 days of prayer. I tell you, it's so important that we do that. But even more than that, even if you don't sign a card, and we hope you do, and we want you to, because we just think that's a good idea, and it's important to do that. We're praying every day for these next 40 days that God's going to do something great on that day. Listen, and by the way, I'll guarantee you this. If you will pray for 40 days about this meeting coming up, this homecoming meeting coming up, I guarantee you when you get here, you're going to be so excited you won't know what to do, because you're going to be expecting God to do something great that day. Can I tell you, now I'm going to tell you this one story, and then we're done. I'm just telling you, we're done. All right? Mark Smith, this past week, he's pastor of Box Mountain Baptist Church down on Lake Woosicket Road. I'm not sure, back over in that area down there toward Walnut Cove. And he was talking out of the blue. He just happened to be talking. I just happened to be listening. And he said that it was, I think 15 years ago, 15, 16 something years ago. He said, I'll never forget, 15 years ago, I went to Box Mountain Baptist Church for a homecoming service. 15 years ago, I went there. Somebody invited me, I went there. I didn't get saved that day. But before the week was out, he said, I got saved. He's the pastor of that church now. Here was a boy, young man, somebody invited him, he came. He didn't get saved that day. But before the week was out, he got saved. And he's the pastor of that church now. Isn't that amazing? Well, you say that'll never happen. Well, it won't. Yeah, if you don't ever ask nobody, if you don't ever pray for them, if you're not praying and asking God to save somebody, no, it's not. It won't ever happen. But I guarantee you this: if you're praying and you're inviting, sooner or later, somebody's going to get saved. Something's going to happen, because that's just the way. I mean, that's the way God works. God works as we work. We do our job, God will do His job. We don't do our job, God, it's almost as if God's hands are tied, you know. And I mean that respectfully, because God can do anything He wants to, but I'm just saying that's His plan. God works through us. All right? Okay, well, let's back.